Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. I'm going to read an essay I wrote for Bee Culture magazine in November of 2022 titled Found in Translation: Climate Control. Honeybees control the temperature in the core of their colonies to a degree you can only dream of for your home. By humming their muscles, i.e., burning sugary carbs and ventilating, they stabilize both temperature and humidity across a wide range of outside conditions. How they do this and the causes of major shifts from normal hive conditions are topics of great interest for colony health. Running too hot in the winter can stress the cells of bees, or at least lead to the wasteful use of honey. Running too cold also stresses bees, especially brood, and might put colonies at greater risk from parasites and pathogens, which tend to come from lineages that exploit less hot-blooded insects. Beekeepers and scientists have developed and adopted numerous technologies for monitoring hive conditions. Superfans can find hours of videos by experts in this realm from the most recent International Bee and Hive Monitoring Conference held at the University of Montana and available on YouTube. Highly accurate thermocouples, or small thermometers, electronic, are inexpensive and depend on minimal energy. Similarly, monitors for humidity are readily available, as are monitors for sound. Slightly more complex probes can determine relative levels of oxygen or CO2 in the hive environment. All of these measurements can be reported out to the wider world via antennae aimed at cell phone towers or satellites, joining the cacophony of the Internet of Things. Scientists using this technology receive unprecedented insights into how colony conditions, management, and hive materials impact the bubble in which colonies live. In total, the results have had some bearing on management and diagnoses of when things are going poorly. They also might change how you manage, feed, and house your bees. The concept of indoor weather reports from beehives is not new, of course. Hive temperature values gathered by James Simpson for his 1961 paper, Nest Climate Regulation in Honeybee Colonies, are still accepted as truth for colonies in winter and summer and within and outside the cluster of bees. Namely, the cluster itself is hot and stable, fluctuating only slightly from 34 degrees Celsius, or about 93 degrees Fahrenheit. This cluster temperature trends lower and becomes a bit less stable in the absence of brood. But winter bees from Texas to Toronto keep things amazingly hot and stable through the coldest winter. So, how do beekeepers help their colonies control temperatures efficiently? I've written before about the resurgence in storing colonies in buffered buildings or underground during winter as a means of decreasing stress and honey consumption. But what about hive-centered fixes? Working from the outside in, what is it about the hive environment that helps honeybees regulate their inner selves? For any given climate, bees and beekeepers have some say about the building materials and integrity of colony homes. Some beekeepers feel that natural hive cavities and managed hive bodies that closely match the ancestral homes of honeybees will lead to healthier bees and colonies. Groups such as Apis arborea in the United States are leaning into this idea with naturalistic beekeeping. Others have focused on mass-produced and marketed options. My USDA colleagues, Mohammed Albaraki and Miguel Corona, have compared the well-used wooden Langstroth hive body to one of the available synthetic hive options. Using 20 bee colonies of equal in size, hosted in wooden and polyurethane hives, and tested during the cold stretches of a Maryland winter, they showed that synthetic boxes provided better winter insulation and also kept the hive environment at lower humidity at a range of temperatures. In a paper published in the Journal of Apicultural Research called Polyurethane Honeybee Hives Provide Better Winter Insulation Than Wooden Hives, and that's an open access paper. These are both desirable traits for a hive structure. Similar, Daniel Cook and colleagues from Brisbane, Australia, showed in their paper thermal impacts of apicultural practice and products on the honeybee colony in the Journal of Economic Entomology that polystyrene hives maintain heat far better than wooden hives, while also showing that stored honey, while costly to heat initially, acted as wonderful insulation for bees trying to keep warm. In prior work, Yasar Erdogan from Turkey did a similar study, but with bee-filled colonies. And his paper was called Comparison of Colony Performances of Honeybee Housed in Hives Made of Different Materials. This is online in a journal called the Italian Journal of Science. In this paper, synthetic colonies had higher brood production and honey yields than wooden hives, but wooden hives with an exterior sandwich of insulation were significantly better than both, even during the summer. Other studies suggest that bees themselves and their behaviors are predominant in maintaining a cozy home. Using long-term and precise reporting of temperature and levels of carbon dioxide, William Meikle from the USDA and colleagues showed how bees can make different houses work for them in a paper called Honeybee Colonies Maintain CO2 and Temperature Regimes in Spite of Change in High Ventilation Characteristics. This was in the journal Apidology in 2022. Their bees showed a narrow core temperature band in both standard hives and hives with a screen bottom board, and strong daily cycles in carbon dioxide inside the hive. Colonies had higher CO2 levels when housed with screen bottom boards, but this difference was not as large as the daily cycling of CO2. And dashing a good story from the past, colonies did not show any sort of group-level breathing, i.e., a circumstance where gas levels changed on a cycle from seconds to hours, reflecting the breathing of a larger animal. Building on the complexity and seasonal nature of all this, Eucaline Godot and French colleagues monitored the temperatures of different parts of dozens of hives for 2 years, giving the best view yet of energy loss and heat production within bee homes. In their 2022 preprint called Stability in Numbers, a Positive Link Between Honeybee Colony Size and Thermal Regulatory Efficiency Around the Brood, they reinforce how remarkably stable hive temperatures remain, while showing only minor changes with colony size, and namely that worker bee population and not brood numbers per se, is positively tied to temperature stability. This is only true when brood is present and when probes are in areas containing brood. When brood is absent, as observed 60 years ago by Simpson, hive temperatures can fluctuate madly. So, how can this information be used to improve beekeeping? It is evident that hive sensors can help determine optimal bee houses for any given climate, and perhaps these sensors will help beekeepers decide when and how to remove honey and swap out drawn frames for foundation with the least impact on the bubble their bees prefer. It's possible that multiple hive temperature sensors can tell beekeepers when brood is absent or retracting, but bees seem to be quite good at showing heat even when small patches of brood are present. Hive sensors that measure CO2 and other hive gases, maybe oxygen or nitrogen, are more costly but give unique insights into bee activity and perhaps the efficient use of by bees of incoming energy. How these physical measures mesh with continuous monitoring of hive weight and sound for that matter remains to be seen. For now, and for most of us, we can get general insights from studies that use accurate and constant probes, but our most insightful evidence and satisfaction, of course, will come from lifting the hive covers. Thanks for listening. Have a great month.